Hey, keys player, can you play something for me? So good. Let's pray before we open God's word, hey? Lord, we come before you and we open your word, not just for information, not just for another nice thought, but Lord, that you would continue to transform us. Thank you, Lord, that, you know, the Psalms are an outpouring of real, true, authentic emotion. Crying out to you, Lord. Believing by faith that you are good, that you are faithful. And that, Lord, you do comfort. But your business is not our comfort, but our transformation. And so, Lord, I pray that you would really speak to us. You know, whatever it is that we're carrying right now, you know, it's met in the wisdom, in the depth of the Psalms. And so, Lord, whatever we're feeling right now, you know, maybe we're feeling a bit reflective. Maybe we're feeling like it's a bit hard work. Maybe gathering with people is scary. Maybe there's a whole bunch of unknown. Lord, would you speak to us today through your word in Jesus' name? And everyone said, amen, amen, amen. Amen. Thanks, Loz. It's my sister. So good. Let's watch her waddle off stage. No, look here. So good. So we're in a new series for the start of the year. Happy New Year. How are you? Good. It's so good to have people here. The kids are having a great time downstairs. And Psalms is a great place to start at the start of a year, because what we have to remember is that the excitement, anticipation, hope, whatever we feel at the start of a new year, or if you're just like, man, I'm just recovering from these last 2 years and you're telling me it's 2022, none of it is met in the reality of a new year. It's all met in the reality of a risen Savior in Jesus Christ. And the Psalms point to him, because it's all part of God's master plan. Amen? I want to invite you into a year of worshiping God. And I want to present the case today that we are built to do just that. And that a desire to do that together is a biblical thing. And a desire to see everyone do that. Like if you've got Tom here, he's a worshiper. And Tom wants not just the church here to worship with him, but I think he might even want like the street out there, or even his own street, Thomas Place. Isn't that cute? That's true. It's not a joke, although it kind of is. Tom wants all of Warrnambool. Tom wants Australia to worship God. Tom wants the world to worship God. And that's the case presented in this really short psalm. And everyone went, whew. I'll be out of here in time for a barbecue on the beach. It is warmer today than we thought it would be. Worship isn't easy, but it profoundly impacts us. And so when things look worst, the answer is actually to worship. And you're like, oh, I don't want to do that. It doesn't feel right. That's the very reason that it's the reason to do it. And if you're looking for a breakthrough in space, in your life, it is through worship. And worship is not just song. It's not just what we did this morning, but it is what we're doing right now in opening the Word of God. It's in prayer. It's in serving. We are worshiping God. We are showing that we are His. So we've got some great speakers. And then we're going to look at prayer in February. So a really great kickoff to the year. You know, Psalms, if we look towards Christ, Jesus Christ, right now, Psalms were like the hymnal of Jesus and his apostles. Sometimes we think that Jesus was walking around with the New Testament. They were the New Testament. They're living it. And so just as we unconsciously memorize hymns and songs of our childhood, like if I say Amazing Grace, it has meaning for almost everybody in the room. And then you might have others. I might not know them because you're slightly older than I am. Or you might be like, you know, Alive by Hillsong Young and Free, because I'm so young, is like the soundtrack of my growing up, and you're born in the 90s or you're born in the 2000s. Someone says 30 years ago And it's not that long ago, is it? And we all start to feel a little bit old. The great thing about Psalms is that they speak to us in any age or stage of life. And they voice our praise, they voice our trouble, they voice our pain, our uncertainty, our faith in God, and even more so, His faithfulness that gives us a hope that Scripture says will never ever fail. A society without hope is in a really dangerous place. A heart without hope is in a really dangerous place. And so I hope this message impacts you, whether you're here or you're at home. But I invite you to reach out and just be really honest, first with God and say, Lord, I have no hope. Or with a Christian around you who you can trust, or me, I'd love to sit down with you and have that really hard conversation and listen and go, your hope's been dashed on the rocks. Okay, I'm not just going to grab a guitar and start singing to you, unless you ask me to. But we might get there, but let's start in the Word of God and no place better than Psalm. So Psalm 117, why don't you turn there or be on the screen behind me and on your screen at home. It's a small psalm with big lessons. And I was kind of like, is this the one? Like, you know, that's the reality of the truth of worship is when someone says worship is the answer, unless we're like a worship leader or one of these people usually up here, we just go, really? You're going to pull that one out again? But I got to tell you from personal experience, it doesn't even matter if I'm the person singing or if my adoration and worship is expressed in prayer. When you say out loud, first thing in the morning, what's something you could say? Good morning, Lord. Thank you that this is the day that you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. It changes everything about you. It doesn't change God, who is unchanging and faithful, but it certainly changes us. And sometimes we've just got to say the truth of the Word of God because we're not feeling it. Like if someone puts a worship song on or says, let's praise God in this way, you're just like, that's the last thing I want to do. And sometimes when it's the last thing you want to do, it means it's the first thing you should do. And it's not easy. But let's read it together. So the first one, I thought it's great to have different translations. Let's go NIV and then we'll have Message because the language there is always great. So praise the Lord, all you nations. Extol him, all you peoples. For great is his love towards us and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. You know, it's a handy like back pocket for a worship leader, like pull it out. Hey, everybody, sing with me because I'm telling you that's what this is saying. But how much is it saying? All you nations is an implicit missional message that actually we are to take the sovereign name of the Lord to all nations and that prophetically, which means in the future, everyone is going to bow down, is going to see Jesus. And at that point, the question will be, is he your Lord and Savior or not? And then it says that God's love is great towards us and his faithfulness endures forever. This is not just like, hey, come and sing with me. This is life-changing, future-setting hope set in concrete. You know what? Some awesome people made that sign. And so many times we've been like, usually you keep stuff for a little bit and then you put it somewhere else. I think we need to, you know, bolt it to the floor or concrete it into the car park because it really is so, so needed. So the Message version, just for good measure, says, praise God, everybody. Applaud God, all people, not just us. His love has taken over our lives. So the implicit question in that is, has it? How's your love? If your hope is dashed, your love probably is too. God's faithful ways are eternal. And then, hallelujah! I'm not the only one who's going to be doing that kind of stuff. On three, hallelujah. One, two, three. Hallelujah. That was good. Three masks. Good enunciation. All right. Title for today. We worship what we value. We worship what we value. All right, I want to talk about Shaquille O'Neal. Oh, that was a jarring segue, wasn't it? All right, his nickname is what? Shaq. He's how tall? Real tall. 7 foot. I reckon there's some conjecture, but I think it's 7'1", I reckon. But I'm sure he looks big. You know, my kids, we have three little boys. They look at me and think I'm the biggest thing ever. And then I kind of say like, oh, here's The Rock, Dwayne Johnson. He's a lot bigger than I am. And then here's a photo, which I can't show in here. You can Google it though. Google The Rock with Charles Barkley and Shaq. And The Rock looks like a midget. Now, Shaq is slightly notorious. One, let's just give some background. NBA player, 4 championships. What was it? Orlando Magic, then Lakers, had a fight with Kobe, got booted, went to the Miami Heat. Won another one? Just talk amongst yourselves. We're going to go over. No. Awesome. Everett, that's Dan. He's so good at NBA trivia. Stats, whatever you want to know. Shaq has a few kids, and he's slightly notorious for saying, I'm not giving my kids anything. So, yeah, fair. So, I mean, I don't know if you've read in the Bible, but it actually says, put something away for your children's children. Now, I kind of look at Shaq and I'm like, okay, I get maybe the theory behind this, that you don't want them to be entitled. You don't want them to be wealthy from birth and turn out to be little. And so you're going to withhold. But he's quite brutal in this. And in all of that, I think, though, he would still want them to love him. Right? So I understand what he's trying to do, but I disagree. Now, people look at God, and this is all about praising and worshiping God. And one of the issues people have is like, how's the vanity of God? Or how weird is it? I want to kind of give you the counter argument before we look at it. It's weird that God would create something to worship him. But I want my kids not to worship me because I'm not perfect. But I want my kids to love me. I love them. I want love in return. God is love, but God is perfect, sovereign, outside of time, faithful yesterday, today, and forever. And so it's kind of just like illogical to go, why wouldn't God, who is all powerful, who creates something he doesn't need, but in us, but he loves and wants us to love him. It's not that weird. But unlike Shaq, God doesn't withhold stuff from us. He actually gives and pours out. But he doesn't want us just to love him for what he gives. So not just love him for the life that we have, not just love him even for the love he's poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, but actually love him. John Piper says this, but what if we have the need, and the need is to see infinite beauty? I'm getting poetic at the start of the year, is that all right? And enjoy it so much that it spills over into authentic praise. So, when's the last time you saw God as infinitely beautiful and it poured out of you in response? It's a tough year. So maybe for you, honestly, it's been hard for me. And like, I'm like paid to be holy. That's a joke, by the way. It's not. What if admiration really is the highest pleasure and God is the most admirable being in the universe? Are you starting to get that actually praising God changes us? And I think it's something that many ways we've lost, because we can't help but feel the loss of people who aren't in this room right now. Or the fact you have a mask on. Or just that people are a bit tired. And so it would be wonderful if everyone came in and they're just like bubbling, brewing, expectancy, ready to go. and worship God, and everyone was as extroverted in their praise as you were. But we're not all the same, are we? And so we acknowledge what we've lost, but we still look at the invitation and actually this huge statement in this tiny little psalm that seems like, ah, what a cop-out preaching on this. But it is so foundational for who God is and actually the invitation, I believe, for this year. In 1643, they dissolved the Church of England and they got a whole bunch of people together and said, like, we need to rebuild this. There's some stuff's going wrong. So they're at Westminster Abbey. I don't know if you've seen that. I mean, the last time was probably like some royal wedding and people looked. Is that the right place? Yeah, cool. I am not a royal aficionado. Yeah. So the question they asked was, what's the chief end of man? I mean, how would you respond? What's the chief end of man? And so obviously the people they got together are Christians, believe in God. And I wonder if this would surprise you. They said to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Glorify God and enjoy Him forever. I wonder if, do you feel like the word enjoy is a more contemporary word? Or, like, I would kind of, there's a church called Enjoy Church, great church. And I reckon some people would be like, oh, that name, ugh. Like, it's so profound. It's such a great invitation. And I think we've lost some of that. Enjoy God. And so three things that can be broken into. One, glorify God. Two, obey God. Three, enjoy God. I had a great pastor friend from Geelong, and what he says is like, how have you been enjoying God this week? I actually would love to normalize that question. Because we're stuck in a rut of like, how are you? Busy, overwhelmed. There's a pandemic that's gone on for way longer than we thought. We keep thinking, because it's a new year, it'll be better. It's just another day. In God, things can move forward. He gives us hope. Even if the actual circumstances don't get better, how we see it changes. And there are questions in this. So all nations, do we believe that the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ is to be praised by all peoples? I mean, there's actually a really, not insurmountable, but there's this terrible myth that somehow Christianity is like a white man's religion. And you just look around the world, the church is exploding in places other than the US and Australia. And it's a blatant lie. But I think sometimes we're like, oh, God's mine. He belongs to me. He belongs to everybody. Let's write that theologically. Everybody belongs to Him. He created them. He wants to draw them back to Him only through Jesus Christ. And so the grander vision of this is that we need to break free of the constraints of what is respectfully, and this includes me, but often our little culture, and it's got smaller, hasn't it? Because we've been in isolation. So you've been stuck with your whatever, your spouse, your sibling, your family. Your friendship circle probably got smaller. So we've got this little culture of family, friends, church, Australia. Like we punch above our weight, but Australia is so sparsely populated for how big we are geographically. And we're like, we're removed from many, many things. Matt Jacoby, who is the lead singer of Sons of Korah, he's the senior pastor of One Hope Baptist Church. Hey, we got some One Hopers here. Shout out to you guys. Hey. He says this. I mean, if you want to hear someone teach on Psalms, he's phenomenal. He said, there's a universal imperative for all people to live the way human beings were made to live, as vessels of praise to God. And that's a vision to which the worship of the Psalms naturally looks. So the psalmist is there going, I want to worship God and I want to see everybody else do it. And prophetically, that's where history is going. Even though right now, things don't look that great, do they, if we're honest? And we're going to have a bit of a reality check in a minute. And so we look back and then we look forward. Well, we're looking back and back because the Bible's old, but we're looking forward as well. So one day, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. Where does that come from? So Isaiah 45, going back thousands of years. Then we're New Testament, going back a few thousand years. Romans 14, Philippians 2 says the same thing. And so, you know, I wonder if you've walked into church and you've had Tom go, hey church, I hope you're ready to praise. And you're just like, ugh. It's only Tom. I know when I say it or Elise says it, you're like, whoa, she's a hottie. Let's stop. It's the new year, still working off some Christmas food. The practice of calling the whole earth to worship God is an important ingredient in the worship of the Psalms, and it's what we're invited to. There is not a contentment here to only worship in a minority, although sometimes that happens, and it's not of any less value. It's just the heart is, we want everybody to see God. We want everybody to know what Jesus has done. There are many reasons to give praise to God, but the greatest theme is the unyielding covenant love of God. And I think, what's a covenant? A covenant is like a promise, like a contractual promise. And if you don't know about them, I think there's a whole bunch of God's faithfulness that you're missing out on because he has shown us that. And I'm not going to go for too much longer, but I just want to unpack this. And look, if you are struggling with hope, if you're struggling with joy right now, and I acknowledge it is so hard. I've had lots of rough days. I've had the roughest days in the past couple of years that I think I've had in my whole life. And your heart is for people who are hurting so deeply and they're so divided by something that actually has gotten in the way of Jesus Christ. This is the vision for the church. God is always faithful to his people and he will keep his covenant of blessing. Now, let me give you a snapshot. What is that? So N.T. Wright talks about this particular worldview, which if you believe in what the Bible says and you've had a look at Psalms and you understand that God's plan was to bring Jesus in the world through the line of David, we just went through that for Christmas, something called covenantal monotheism. Everyone say, covenantal monotheism. Awesome. What does it mean? There's one God and he made some promises. But they're deeper than that. They're covenants because he kept them. Not as in keeping the promise didn't make it a covenant. It was a covenant to begin with. But this is something so deep that I think in our culture, it's not just like it. A man of his word is something that is important, and it has been. And I think there are probably roots back to going, well, God is a God of his word. He always does what he says he's going to do. And that is more profound than we give it credit for. So let me give you one example. When God chose Abraham, the father of the nation of Israel, he said, this is Genesis 12, 2-3, I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. You know, as Christians, like, we exist, well, as people almost, like, we exist because of this. And as Christians, we need to look at this and go, this is a promise that God made, and we, our families, are blessed through it. So all the families of the earth, all the nations, all the peoples, this is the heart that's being expressed in Psalms. We bless through Abraham. How? Because the ultimate decisive seed of Abraham was who? Jesus. I mean, you can go anywhere in the Word of God, can I encourage you, and just like you're going to end up at Jesus. Because he is the fulfiller of all. And so we've got to wrestle just for one moment. I'll be done in like 2 minutes. I might actually invite the team to come back up. Thanks, guys. So N.T. Wright looks at the Psalms and the early church, and then he looks at another frame of thought, which is called Epicureanism. Everyone say Epicureanism. What does that mean? It just means that there are some gods around and they're not going to harm you, but at the end of your life, there's nothing special coming. And it's funny, we kind of go, oh, that's a really old way to think, and we've moved forward. You do realize that's how most people think nowadays. And it's not that they think there's a God of the ocean and a God of the wind, and I grew up with all that kind of theology. I mean, not theology, mythology. Thanks, Dan. Dan's always good for laughing at me. And a lot of people, especially in the West, where we live, think this way. And even worse, we've kind of fallen into this idea of therapeutic deism, which is just like, there's a God, I'm on a growth trajectory of getting better so that my life becomes better. That's not the gospel. That's not God. That is effectively, I'm going to, once I fix myself, I will be God. But then at the end of my life, there's still nothing there. It all lands in emptiness, doesn't it? And so I know it's been hard, and I know worship isn't the very thing you might feel like doing all the time, but it's actually the way that is going to transform us and see God move in his church and see people go, what is the go with you? Not because you're fake. And so we need the reality check. And so this is what is presented in Psalms, that those who accept God's provision for the salvation of their souls, the work of Jesus Christ, will be saved indeed, and they will join the great multitude in heaven that is spoken of in the Psalms. So the tension is, and this is me wrapping up. Do you want to play for me again? Right now, let's acknowledge, right now is broken and sinful, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like maybe in your own life, let alone looking around. And the future is perfect and blessed. And you've got to wrestle with that. And the only way you can have a vision of the future in the sense that it is perfect and blessed, I'm not talking this year. I'm talking about the future forever in God's hands because he is faithful. This is how we get in touch with reality. I think sometimes we idolize staying informed and the bad news of the world. But what does it do? It dashes our hopes on the rocks when that's what we're looking at all the time. Praise, worship, singing, prayer makes our future with God seem much more immediate and tangible because it rekindles our faith. Revelation 7, 9 to 10 says this, "After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count. This is the outcome from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.'" Jesus is known as the Lamb of God. We praise what we value. We praise what we value. Psalms invites us to remember How valuable. Valuable is not a good enough word. How awesome, how sovereign, how faithful, how mighty, how much we can put our faith and hope in God who will not fail us. And that is a key question. What are you valuing? Because whatever you value is where your life is going, because you will worship it. Your husband and wife are great. Your boyfriend and girlfriend are great. But if they get before your life, if anything, your new car gets before God, the house you're renovating, the lights go out, and it's more important than God. When anything gets in that place, everything is going pear-shaped. God gives good gifts, unlike Shaq. He probably does, actually. I mean, he's really wealthy. God gives good gifts, but the invitation and the profound change to the year ahead could be, Lord, I just want to glorify, praise you for who you are. Everything else is a byproduct. So do you reckon we can stand?
Yeah.
We're going to wrap up. We'll release you guys. It's been so good to be here for the first Sunday of 2022, even if it's come as a shock to you. And so the invitation, glorify God, obey God, enjoy God. Everyone say enjoy.
Enjoy.
I really think like maybe the word for 2022 is going to be enjoy, because it feels so countercultural right now to enjoy, unless it's something that is entertaining, or like we're buying something to fill a hole, or we're, I don't know, whatever it is. But what if we stepped into this? So let's pray, and then we're going to sing Christ Alone, Cornerstone. Lord, we thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit. We thank you for the gift of your presence with us here right now. And I pray, Lord, that you would draw us to you and give us hearts to worship you, hearts that are rekindled with a fire that say, Lord, you are so awesome, so mighty, so powerful, so faithful. I just want to glorify you for who you are. I want to fix my eyes on you for who you are. And I thank you, Lord, for all the blessings in my life, even when things are so hard. And Lord, will you help me that when it looks the darkest, what is the answer? It's not to go and hide in the dark. It's to bring the light into the darkness. And that is what happens when we praise. So Lord, would you bring light into dark places, and would you give us a heart that extends beyond ourselves to reach out to all nations, all peoples, that they might know you, Lord, and that we might live with a vision of the everlasting future, which is every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. And we want to see people knowing Jesus on that day. And everybody said, amen. Amen.